I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How about you? I could fold up my Bible and walk off the grounds now and say that it has already been good to be in his house this morning. But I want to try to preach a sermon to you this morning, and I ask you with all sincerity that you would just pray for your pastor this morning that I can preach it the way that God wants me to bring it to you. Is that all right this morning? God is good. God is good. God is good. I'd like to recognize Pastor Daryl and Pam and all the army of helpers that they had this past week. I will not try to name names because certainly I will miss names, and I just don't even know all the names yet. But thank you, everybody that took part in everything that was done for VBS. What a wonderful, awesome week that it was. And I come with, yes, let's give them a good hand, and all the children, all the parents. So awesome, awesome stuff. And I come with great news for you this morning. I know you're going to be very ecstatic to hear this great news, but our softball team, Team B, what are we called? I don't know. Omega. Yeah, I should know. I'm on the team. Well, I arrived a little bit late there, and I got out of the van and rushed down to the field, and you could feel the momentum just start to shift. Well, I'm not joking. Why are you laughing? But we won our first game 13-4, so how about that? The Omega team, we're on our way. I made it to third base. I don't know that counts for anything, but we got there, so... But we had a lot of fun, and we've been having a lot of fun, so we'll see how it goes Friday night. But hey, 13-4, praise the Lord. But it's been an awesome week, and I want to try to preach to you this morning. We've been in the Foundations series. We've talked about faith and hope and love, and then the way, the truth, and the life. And when I got to the life, I didn't really know whether to stay with the foundation series or to spring off into another series. And it took a life, no pun intended, of its own. And so I thought about the old shows when you had a spinoff series. Some of you may remember the Cosby Show, and then they had a spinoff called It's a Different World, or the Andy Griffith Show. That's the best show of all time. And they had a spinoff that was Mayberry RFD. That was never really as good as the original one. But so I'm going to start a spin-off series this morning, if that's all right. And for the next several weeks, as I begin to study this concept of life, I want to call this series Live and Let Live. And we're going to just kind of take our time over the next probably 6-7 weeks, and we're going to look into some foundational doctrines that are key, that have manifested themselves hopefully in our lives, that are bringing about life. So live and let live. And today's title would be made of what? Made of what? What are you made of? What are we made of? I'd start this sermon this morning with a different question as well. What is it that we want? What do we want in life? What is it that you want in life? What is it that I want in life? We want to be safe. But don't we want more than just safety in our lives? We want to survive this life. And sometimes it seems from day to day that that's what we're doing. We're just maybe surviving. But I believe that we want more than just to survive, don't we? We want to really thrive. Amen. We want to thrive in this life. I believe it is life in its fullness. I believe it is abundant type of life, or abundant type of living, that we really, really crave and we really, really want. So thus the series, Live and Let Live. And how is it then that we take some of the foundational principles that we've talked about through the last several weeks, and how is it that we apply those into our lives so that then life, it will propel us into life that is abundant? I'll tell us this morning, just as we start, that living for Christ is the first step. It is the key to abundant life. And if I am not living for Christ, there is really no possible way that I can truly have abundant life as God really wills for me. Because I need to decide, and we need to establish it now, it is God's will for us to have abundant life. Plenty of grace, plenty of peace, plenty of love, plenty of joy, having purpose, having meaning. Aren't those the things that we really crave for? Abundant life is not about having more stuff or more material possessions. Can I just tell you that what I have found, that the more stuff that I have, the more things I have to do to take care of that stuff. Sometimes the more stuff that I acquire actually brings more stress than happiness or joy. So it's not really the things of life that cause us abundant living, but it is a Christ-like living that brings abundant life to us. Now, in biology, there's a term that's called relative species abundance. Relative species abundance. Now, I was not a biology teacher. I was a social studies teacher. So I'm off in high weeds right here. But basically, it is saying that it is measuring the amount or the number of a certain type of species within a certain area. Now, I was watching National Geographic a little bit yesterday, and I came to find out that there are more fireflies in the Great Smoky Mountains than anywhere else. I don't really know why I would need that information, but I found that out. But it was a kind of this concept that you figure out how many of a certain population is within a population. I say that to say this, that I believe that it is not more common. In fact, I think it's more rare that we really find people in our world today that are living an abundant life. And I wonder even if we would take the population of Christianity and we would try to find that sampling even within Christianity. Is it a rare thing or is it a common thing that those even within the realm of Christianity are living an abundant life? I guess what I'm trying to say to all of us this morning is if we are living below our means as children of God and we're not walking in that fullness of that abundance of life, I encourage all of us to step it up and then to do everything we can to show others the way to this abundant life. Would you look with me, John 10:10? John 10:10 will be our text, possibly for a long period of time throughout this series. John chapter 10 is a beautiful chapter, Jesus talking about being the good shepherd and how the sheep know his voice and they hear his voice and how he protects the flock, and just a beautiful, beautiful chapter. And perhaps you might want to read throughout this coming week, and as we're going through this series, maybe you would want to read John chapter 10 and study it out some. But John chapter 10, verse 10, the text here says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus goes on to say, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The Good News translation said it this way: "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you may have life, life in all its fullness." So I preach a happy message this morning. I preach a hopeful message this morning. I preach a message that can bring us life more abundantly, life in its fullness. If we look in biology, something is considered alive. Well, let's look at it this way. If something isn't alive, it's either dead or it's artificial. And so I got to thinking about, in studying this concept of life, what does it mean to be alive? Well, there are 7 characteristics that a biologist will use to determine that something is indeed alive. And so over these 7 weeks, I want to take each one of those characteristics and then tie them into a concept that we find in Christian doctrine. And so this morning, we're going to look at made of cells. Anything that is alive is made of cells. When I was in high school and then maybe a little bit in college, we would take these little slides and they would put something under the slide and you would press a little plastic thing on top of it and they would assure me that cells were there. Now, I never really got it. I was more of a concrete person, but they assured me that there are things under there. And we would look in the microscope and everybody else, you know, would be drawing these beautiful diagrams. And sometimes I would and sometimes I would be like, okay, well, scribble something. But I assure you that if we are alive, biologically speaking, we are made of cells. But I ask us this morning, what about our spiritual cells? What about our spiritual DNA? What are we made of? And I want to take us through this morning what we are originally made of, our original cells, and then what we should be made into by God. So let me ask 4 questions real quickly. Are you alive in Christ? Well, how do you know? Are you confident of that fact? And then finally, if the answer to all that is yes, do our lives reflect Christ in them? First, it's important to establish that we are alive. Physically, we are alive, and spiritually, we can be alive. When I think of being made of something, it speaks to a creator. We are made by a creator God. But can I tell you that that is being challenged more and more in our society? Can I tell you it is very acceptable within the realms of education and higher education to just teach a concept of cosmic evolution and all of these other theologies or false teachings, theories that leave God out of it. But can I tell you that first, we must realize we are indeed made by Creator God. Why is this so challenged? I've often thought about this. Why is this so challenged? Because really it is one of the most foundational points to explore. If there is a Creator, then there must be a heaven. But if there is a heaven, then there must be a hell. Come on, somebody. And so if I can convince someone that there's not a creator, then I can indirectly convince them that there's not a hell. If there is a creator God, then there must be a Jesus Christ. And if there is a Jesus Christ, then I know that there is a way and he is the only way. But if I can convince everybody that there is no God, then we can say there are many ways to live and there are many ways to find fullness, but there is not. If there is a creator God and there is a son, Jesus Christ, then that means there is a Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I just preach right here and tell you why that so many don't want to accept the teaching and the preaching and the moving of the Holy Ghost? Can I tell you why? Because the Holy Ghost, first and foremost, he brings conviction and reproof. He is the one who draws us to Christ. I wish we could all realize, and I wish the world could realize, though, that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a heart with old-time conviction, that it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because he's drawing us to God himself, and he's propelling us and saying, come and be saved. Come and change your cellular composition from corrupt to saved, to sanctified, to regenerated. So see, if there's a creator, there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's a son, there's a Holy Spirit. There are moral absolutes. There is sin and there is holiness. That's why it's so important that we believe that there is one true God. It is the foundation of everything, but it is being challenged and eroded greater than ever before. But secondly, God has made us, but secondly, we are making ourselves. Now, what do you mean, Pastor? We are making ourselves. We, each one of us, have been created with a free will. I read a book one time in education, and it was so encouraging. as a former administrator in education, it encouraged me so much because it told me you can't make anybody do anything. Now, I say that sarcastically because it didn't encourage me. But can I tell you, we can't make anybody do anything. Why is that? God created each one of us as free moral agents, and we have a free will. You might look at your neighbor and say, they have a strong will. Now, don't do that. But we have a free will. We can make decisions, and who we are and who we become is a product of the choices and the decisions that we make. So in essence, we are making our own lives now. So within our lives, we are made up physically of cells, biology, cells, biologically speaking. But spiritually speaking, I thought of as our nature and our makeup, spiritually speaking, there are really cells or spiritual cells within us. And those cells start off as corrupt by nature. They start off sinful by nature. I don't want to bust my bubble this morning, but as much as my mama loved me and I was the only child, as much as my grandmother loved me and spoiled me rotten, both of them, and my wife would emphasize the rotten, as much as all of that, I was born a sinner. Now, we sit here this morning and We understand that. We believe that. But can I tell you that that's not the prevailing philosophy in the world today? The prevailing philosophy is that we're all inherently good, that we're all good people. We were all born good. No, we're bad to the bone. In ourselves, we are bad to the bone. Why is it that when a young child left to their own devices without good structure and without being instructed in how to live and what to leave alone. How many knows a child will go to the bad things? A child will grab the bad words. A child will go to put their hand on a stove eye. Left to our own devices, we are naturally not so good. Our DNA, our blueprints are carnal. We were born into sin. Titus 3:3 through 6 says it this way, says it much better than I can say it. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived. You're going to put all this on your resume? Anybody applying for a job this week? You're going to put, I'm foolish, I'm disobedient, I'm deceived? Doesn't paint a very pretty picture, does it? I'm going to get to some pretty stuff here in a little bit, but I got to define reality first. We were serving various lusts, serving various pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating each other. Verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, thank God it appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Just felt a little streak of something right there that just made me feel good because I can't do a work of righteousness in myself. I cannot save myself. I cannot redeem myself. I cannot pay the sin price, and I can't change myself. So not by works of righteousness which we have done, but look in the middle of verse 5, but according to his mercy. Everybody say mercy. Mercy. Thank God for his mercy this morning. Yes. According to his mercy, he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. What did he do with the Holy Spirit? Look in verse 6. Who he poured out onto us abundantly. He didn't say, as they used to say, a little dab will do you. He didn't just sprinkle the Holy Ghost upon us. He didn't just drip the Holy Ghost. He has poured out the Holy Ghost to draw us back to himself. Here's the doctrinal concept that I want us to get this morning and grasp in our lives. It's regeneration. Could you say that with me? Regeneration. Simply put, it's, if I can say it the way I'm preaching it this morning, it is Christ DNA. That blueprint, that cellular blueprint, Christ DNA being transferred from Christ to me. Regeneration is the formation of something new that is replacing or enhancing what was once there. Let me say it this way. Being regenerated is being born again. I still believe in being born again. I still believe that every man, woman, boy, or girl needs to be born again. It is not my desire to come and preach to you 3 points, a poem, and sing a song, and we all feel good about ourselves and go home. It is my point to preach to you the gospel that says all men must repent. We must be born again. If I'm not born again, I'm not a child of God. But the good news is, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you this morning, you can be born again. Born again, what? With Christ DNA. This regeneration, this new birth. What does it cause, Pastor? It causes a change of heart. It causes a passing from death to life. It is becoming a new creation. It is being a renewing of our mind. Our mindset will change. Old things pass away and all things become new. Now, how does this happen? This change, this born again experience, this regeneration does not originate with you or me. Now, we have to make that decision as free moral agents. But it originates from a God who is rich in mercy, who sent his only son to pay the atoning price for our sins upon the cross. And then 3 days later, this same son rose again with all power and all authority, and he ever liveth for you and me. And then God has sent, poured out even the Holy Spirit upon us. And so it starts then by the Holy Spirit drawing us to himself. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Drawing him, drawing us to himself, that we might be saved, that we might be regenerated in him. And then our whole, if I can say it this way, our entire genetic traits begin to change. It's more than just standing and reciting a sinner's prayer or even coming to an altar and weeping and crying. And if I have truly been regenerated, my life, my very thinking will begin to change. Can I get an amen this morning? And my life will be redirected and it will begin manifest. You say, Pastor, you mean I'm going to be perfect? No. But we're going to become more and more like Christ. And our heart is going to be such that if we do fail the Lord, we're going to feel contrite. And we're going to feel regret. Because that's not who we are anymore. Now, within our genetic traits, there's a lot of different things that we are physically now that we can't really do much about changing. How many of you have earlobes that are attached or detached? And all God's children took their hand and pulled their ear. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what that means exactly. So I'm going to say I'm undecided. But I know it's big. How many of you, I read another genetic trait, and I don't understand this one either, but it said that they sneeze when they look at the sun. So everybody look at the sunlight and we'll see how many seats. Now, I do understand this one. This is another genetic trait. When you clasp your hands, does the left thumb go on top? Or does the right thumb go on top? Those are all genetic traits and those all seem to be settled. Now, watch me. I'm going somewhere with this nonsense this morning. That all those traits physically seem to be settled in our bodies, seem to be settled in our gene pool. But there's been something of late that's kind of controversial that has come on the scene called genetic engineering. And maybe even as farmers, you've probably been familiar with some of you farmers, a little bit of this genetic engineering. And it's taking a trait or a characteristic from one place and having someone kind of as the go-between in the middle to take that trait and then infusing it into a place where that trait has not been. Now, that's a very simplistic layman's version of genetic engineering, but I just grabbed that concept because I thought, I'm the one over here that has no righteousness. Are you following me this morning? I'm the one with no righteousness and no goodness. And God is the one over here with everything that I need. And God has genetically engineered, if I could preach it that way, through and by Jesus Christ. And he's come over here and he has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that I in myself could have never attained, everything that I myself could never change or do, he has brought it to me through Jesus Christ. So spiritually speaking, we can experience this change, this regeneration. I'm reminded of a man named Nicodemus. John chapter 3, if you want to dog ear that and read it later too, John chapter 3 has one of the most familiar verses that we all know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But if you read that chapter, you see that that resulted from a conversation, a man named Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. And I just see so many things here about Nicodemus that seem applicable to us. You would have thought that Nicodemus had everything together. Nicodemus was one of the quote unquote religious leaders of the time. Nicodemus had probably memorized large portions of the existing scriptures. He was well respected. He had great authority. He no doubt had great riches. But yet somehow he knew his life. Remember, we're preaching about fullness of life and abundant life. Somehow Nicodemus realized that none of that was cutting it. None of that was doing it for him. And he had heard Jesus and he had seen Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus by night and he begins to try to ease into the conversation with Jesus. It's almost comical to me a little bit as he sees Jesus by night, he's undercover, he's trying to kind of sneak his way in and figure some things out. And Jesus goes right to the point. He goes right to the point and he says to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And I believe this morning that Jesus would say to every one of us, let's just get to the point. Let's just get to the point this morning. My goodness is not going to save me. My good works are not going to save me. My position in life will not save me. Any riches that I might acquire will not save me. And can I just say it with love and tenderness and kindness? There are so many good, loving, moral people that we all know and that we all love that will give the shirt off of their back, but that goodness will not regenerate their heart. Jesus says to all of us, we must be born again. Could it be possible to sit in the church house year after year and on the church pew year after year and have never been born again? Could it be possible to sing in the choir and know that I'll Fly Away is on page 333 and He Abides is on page 184 and that it's written in A flat and to know all these things that we seem to know but still have never been born again? I want to promise you this morning that we as individuals, each one of us, we can be born again and we can be regenerated and changed. That's God's will. And that's where Jesus went to immediately there in John chapter 3. You see, mankind, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That was our natural state. You may want to go with me, Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read some more scriptures about this. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. I hope I can get this off my chest this morning, and I want to do it with love and kindness, but more and more in our generations that we are seeing being reared and raised up, and if we aren't careful, they're friends with people who are in bad lifestyles. They're friends with people who are doing things that are contrary to God's word, or maybe family members. And if we're not careful, hear my heart this morning, if we aren't careful, we'll cut some slack to somebody else because they're our friend or because they're our family member. Now, I'm preaching with love this morning, but sin is still sin. And lost is still lost. Saved is still saved. And we've got to be very careful, folks. We've got to be very careful. And I want to say it with love this morning. But if I'm not following Christ, verse 2 tells me that I'm following the spirit and the power of the air. And that's Satan. Now that's a little bit of hard medicine maybe, isn't it? But it's the truth. If I'm not following Christ, the best of the best, the goodest of the goodest, if they're not following Christ, are following that spirit and that power of the air, the enemy, the devil. God, help us to speak the truth with love. Verse 3, among whom also all were once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. I cannot just do something because it feels good or feels right, or I claim that God made me that way. No. Our nature is to do wrong things. But God has come that he might regenerate us and begin a new nature in us. And here's where it happened in verse 4. But God, who is rich in... Here's that word again. You said, Pastor, you've been kind of down in the dump so far. Now it's getting a little bit better because we were over here lost and undone and unrighteous without God. But here in verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, wherewith he loved us, look at verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive. Somebody say alive. He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Is anybody saved this morning? Are you glad that you're saved this morning? Are you glad that he pulled us out of that miry clay? Verse 6 says it, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Once we have been reborn, once we have been regenerated, once we have been born again, we begin to see differently, we begin to hear differently, we begin to seek divine things. We begin a life now that is characterized by faith and holiness, and Christ is formed in our hearts. Regeneration. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. You want to find life, fullness of life, abundance of life, then make sure first and foremost we have this born again experience. And then we begin to walk in the works and the purpose that God has for our lives. If you are 0 to 3 months, or if you are 88 to 100 years, I want to promise you that right here and right now, God has a purpose for your life. Find it, walk in it, don't deviate from it, and there only is fullness of life. I'm going to try to land this plane this morning. If our musicians would come and get ready, I want us to, before we leave, we're going to sing that old hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. But I want to remind us, and I want to say it very plainly, regeneration is necessary. Sinful human flesh cannot stand in God's presence. Jesus reminded Nicodemus not once but twice, you must be born again. So it's not only necessary, but regeneration is not optional. A child of wrath, which we were, must become a child of God. Here's God's good news. It started with God and His great love and His great mercy. Here's God's good gift. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. God's great Holy Spirit comes and convicts us and draws us to repentance. And then once we repent, God's great power, that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, that resurrection power begins to work in our lives and in our hearts. Isn't it beautiful this morning? Salvation is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Would you stand with me all over the house this morning? What are you made of? What are you made of? I am humbled and I am honored to declare to you this morning personally that my DNA has been remade. How about you this morning? Are you fully alive in Christ? Do you have abundant life? Let me tell you what we don't need. We don't need a renovation. I've gone to my parents' house many years ago when they were having a remodel and a renovation and trying to make things the way they wanted them to be. It's a mess. We can't renovate ourselves. We don't need a reformation of ourselves. I can't reform myself. I don't need a recovery, because I don't have it in me to recover everything that sin has taken away. And I don't need a reorganization. I live and die by to-do lists and a calendar. I love it. I'm a planner and I make lists and I make calendars and I live and die by that. But can I tell you, I can't organize myself out of sin. I don't need a renovation or a recovery or a reformation or a reorganization. All I need is a rebirth. A regeneration in my life through Jesus Christ. Yes. Would you bow your head with me this morning? It's very important to me every week, in some way or another, to ask you as an individual. I know we're here in a corporate setting. I know we're here together, and I thank God for that. But for these moments of time, it's about me and God, and it's about you and God. Can I ask you this morning to search your heart? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Has your life been changed? Has this great work of rebirth, this great work of regeneration, has it happened for you as an individual? I have good news if your answer is no. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you this morning and He's dealing with your heart, then you can be born again. You can start this life of abundance. But then I ask the question, you say, well, Pastor, I know I've been regenerated and I know I've been saved and God has changed my life. I know that, but I don't feel like I'm walking in the fullness and the abundant life that He talked about in John 10:10. And I feel like the thief has tried to steal and kill and destroy in my life. And I just want some life infusion back into me. I want to tell you, He wants to touch you this morning. He wants to remind you whose child you are. He wants to refocus our hearts and our minds to Him. And He wants to get our steps and order our steps and order our ways back to the life that is abundant. Back to a life that is full. John chapter 10 was Jesus and the good shepherd, or Jesus who is the good shepherd, and it was the sheep. But sometimes those sheep want to stray to the right or stray to the left. And I want to tell you, if you're one of those sheep this morning and you say, I've wandered a little bit, I've strayed a little bit, I want to tell you the good shepherd wants to take you up in His arms and carry you back into the fold. God has just been with us in a special way this morning. I've just sensed the sweetness of His Spirit today, and I just believe He wants to help somebody this morning. And if that's you, I just urge you to let Him help you. If that means you pray where you're standing, then by all means, pray where you're standing. If that means He's drawing you and you want to come kneel and pray around this altar, I want to tell you the altar is open for you to come and pray and seek the Lord. If you want to make an altar where you're standing and kneel there, whatever. But before we leave this morning, let God, the good shepherd, let Him do the work that's needed in your heart and in your life. And then next week, we'll move from regeneration into a beautiful, beautiful process that God starts in our lives called sanctification. You say, I don't know if I can serve Him. None of us can. In ourselves. I don't know if I can live it, Pastor. Well, I can't live it either, but His grace has been sufficient for me, and I promise you His grace is sufficient to you. And I promise you that when we come to Him in this great rebirth experience, that then He saves our soul, but then He begins a new process in our life that's called sanctification, and we begin to grow in grace and holiness and righteousness. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we'll preach, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. But how's your heart this morning? How's your life today? Search your hearts this morning before we leave. As we're praying together, do you know this blessed assurance?